the Draft Doctors Podcast for all of your fantasy AFL information. Now here's your hosts, John Crockett and Steve Fizz.
G'day everybody and welcome to episode 7 of the Draft Doctors. My name is John Crockett, joining me is Steve Fizz. Steve, welcome mate.
How you doing?
Pretty good mate. We got a very big show for you today. In fact, we got two shows for you. We are ranking our top 30 players from both Fantasy and Supercoach. Coming up first, we will be doing our Fantasy first in the first show, and our second show will then be Supercoach.
I got my coffee. I need this energy.
Yes, we are recording early in the morning on Australia Day, so happy Australia Day to everyone out there, and have a good day and be safe. Bit of news going around. We've got rumour today Brendan Goddard was on SEN and Matthew Stokes. Looks like he's going to sign with the Bombers.
Well, it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not really relevant for...
Not for fantasy at all. You don't want him. We also found out James Kelly will be a pure mid in Supercoach at about $410,000.
Yeah, God. I would have been interested if he was a defender.
Or I would have been... Maybe it's a D5 as 4.
Yeah.
I would have liked that. And Simkin looks like he's going to be a mid forward around the $200,000. And Crowley... A pure mid at $202,000 for your salary cap games there.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's very cheap. I suppose he missed that year taking that drug, so...
Yeah, but you know his big body. You know he would have stayed fit. You could probably do worse as a cash cow.
Yeah, so something to look at for you salary cap players out there. In other news, the Western Bulldogs have had a leadership change. Tom Liberatore out, Bontempelli in, and previous vice-captain Jordan Ruffhead out, and new vice-captain Easton Wood in.
Yeah, I think they're really hitching their wagon to the Bont.
Oh, yeah, the Bont's... He's going to be a Brownlow medalist one day. And up in Brisbane, two new players added to the leadership group. You've got Beams and Merritt. I mean, this is a club that gives everyone a best and fairest medal, so I think they're just putting everyone into the leadership group these days just to keep them up there, I think.
It's very democratic. I think everybody gets a trophy day.
Yeah. I mean, not going to win a flag anytime soon, but... And the big one, Joel Selwood look like he's going to miss the NAB Cup due to plantar fasciitis in his right foot.
That's big news.
That is big news. I mean, he can't run. He's going to try and get himself ready for round one, but... Whew.
Spoiler alert, Jono, he dropped out of my top 30.
Top 30 out? Wow. Yeah. Oh, I've actually got him low. Actually, where did I put him? I don't think I actually put him in my top 30, so there you go.
There you go.
There you go. What else you got, Steve?
We got a review on Twitter. Well, sort of a review from The Kraken or at Fabregasto. Enjoying the podcast. Nice use of NFL philosophies.
Thank you for the tweet.
Which is nice. Yeah, I guess we are talking a lot about, you know, you've mentioned the handcuff of Tippett and Sinclair, which I don't think there's too many handcuffs going around. But
no, I haven't really delved into that what's around there just yet.
Also streaming that fifth forward position we've sort of talked about with the key rucks.
Yeah.
I think they're interesting things we can apply, and I think we'll sort of keep tabs on sort of streaming that fifth forward over the year. I sort of got a couple of ideas in mind there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do want to follow us on Twitter, we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDraftDoctors. Hit the like button, drop us a comment, tell us what you think, or just drop us an email, thedraftdoctors@gmail.com.
And subscribe and review on iTunes.
And
please.
Stitcher.
Please.
Yes, please tell us what you think. All the feedback is great.
Yeah, and if you have a question, we're happy to answer it on the show or as it comes through.
Absolutely, and we have had a bit of engagement with our followers so far, asking us lots of questions, so keep it up, guys.
Yeah.
All right, starting off with our top 30 fantasy players. Steve, what do you got, mate?
Well, it was funny because we actually put a poll out on Twitter. We had a bit of a response and put the four players out there. We had Tom Rockliffe leading the way from the listeners. They thought he was the number one. Gary Ablett and Todd Goldstein got a little bit of love. Yep. But my man sitting on top got nothing. It's Steph Martin.
Big Steph, nothing. Wow.
He got nothing. He's my number one. And I can understand it. I can understand why people want to go Rocky first. Because they saw the end of the last year. I got no problem. If you want to choose Rocky first, no issues. But the reason I had Steph Martin first was it's more a position scarcity thing. Aside from Goldstein, the rucks, you could, if you take Steph Martin, he averaged 20 more points than the third ruck per game.
Yeah.
If you can pick up 20 points on, you know, basically eight players in your league.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. But I think he can do even better. All right, let's go through the numbers. He played 20 games, averaged 114 in 2014, averaged 112. We know he came in halfway through the year and just blew it up. These are the splits, though, because Leuenberg is out of this team now.
Yep.
Okay, there's no one else but Steph Martin. With Louis...
Don't forget Trent West. Please don't forget Trent West.
I assume that's a joke. So with Louis, he played 12 games, averaged 105.
Still pretty good.
Pretty good. Without Louis, 8 games at 126.
That's amazing.
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right. The last 6 games, averaged 134.
That's almost Goldstein.
That's basically what, like, people were saying how Rocky blew up in the last 6 games. That's 4 points different.
Yeah.
The difference is, the next, like, there's a whole swag of mids who are going to average 110.
Yep.
There might be 2 rucks average over 100. So you could be picking up 40 points.
And that goes a long way. And you times that by 18 games over the season, or 20 games over the season.
That's going to give you a long way to win in your league.
Yep.
Okay, so we talked about the position scarcity. This is another thing I really like about him. He had a low of 87.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic... If that's your baseline...
Absolutely,
that's fantastic. So he's gone to 152 as his high. Plays 91% of the game.
And that'd probably go up now... Without Louis B there, rest forward for 10 minutes and...
Well, the thing is, like, we know the interchange rules change, we know the sub rule's gone, he's going to be on the ground. The only ruckman who played a high percentage of game time was Paddy Ryder. He's not even in the league now.
So it would have been Goldstein, but there you go.
No, well, Goldstein played 90%, and the rest are below that. So, I mean, you could be picking up so many points by having Steph Martin.
Yeah.
So I really see him as just such a safe number one.
Yeah. Oh, well, I had number two.
Yep. Number two was Rocky, Tom Rockliffe from Brisbane, playing midfield. 2015 was a pretty horrible year for him. We know he had the zero included in his average of 105. 2014 averaged the 134, which is just ridiculous.
Absolutely.
The last 6 games, like we mentioned just before, averaged 138. Averages the most tackles in the league, averaged 8 a game, which was down from the year before.
8 tackles and a down, wow.
Yeah. So the only thing is, like, and it was hard to gauge because of how injured these two guys, well, 3 guys were, that I'm about to talk about, was Rockliffe, Beams and Hanley. When Rockliffe played a lot injured, Beams missed the last 5 games.
5 or 6, yeah.
So we didn't, when Beams and Rocky were in the same team, Rocky only hit 30 touches once. So that's an interesting split to pay attention to. I don't think it matters too much because I think Rocky will tackle his way to victory if he doesn't get the possessions.
Yeah.
But Hanley missed a lot of the year as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how those guys all function together because they all are possession magnets.
Yeah, absolutely. And then see how we go with Dane Beams. Struggling with that shoulder reconstruction, might not be ready for round one either.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rocky's the sort of guy who's always on the ground because we know he can play forward.
Yeah.
But for mine, just, you know, he's pretty safe as a pick too. But,
oh, definitely.
But I don't think he's as safe as Martin.
No.
So.
Yeah, well, I had Rocky number one just for that.
But I wouldn't argue if anyone wanted to choose Rocky number one. That's fine.
Yeah, perma captain, just lock it in, set, forget for me.
Yeah. Number three, I had Todd Goldstein from the Kangaroos playing in the ruck. Averaged 114 last year in 21 games. We know he got rested in the last game, so big deal.
Yep.
The year before, averaged only 87.
In fantasy?
Yeah.
Really?
He's never averaged over 100 aside from last year.
Wow.
I did have like 99.9 or something like this.
So. Splitting hairs there.
Yeah. Okay, so this is where the points really came from. He increased his hitouts by 10 a game. Possessions went up by 3 a game, and he found 2 more marks a game. So those are all pretty good. Plays 90% game time, like we were talking about before. And really, to me, is the second best ruckman. I mean, I don't know what Blixarves is going to do because it's such a
Zach who knows. Smith is going to take his spot.
Oh, who knows? So, like, Goldstein seems pretty safe, but the fact that he's only averaged this giant score
once
is a little bit of a worry, but the guy's a machine.
Yeah. He's not going to knock out that 115 average again, I don't think, this year. Might slide 4 points. So still be a 110, which is still a great average.
I think he has to. I think he's over 110. I don't see he's going to go backwards. I think he's only getting better as a player.
Mm.
So
I suppose if he gets more game time, then those points should increase. Like, yeah, he's playing 98% of the game.
He's playing 90% of the game anyway. Like, I mean, I don't think they could... I mean...
Well, if they give Benny Brown or Petrie in the ruck for 5-10 minutes,
yeah,
sit him in the forward line, he might clunk onto one and kick a snag, who knows?
Well, for mine, he's pretty safe.
Yep.
I think the other ruck, like, he's just such a good ruckman now. He really blew it up. So I don't see he's going to get worse. I mean...
Nah. Unless, God forbid, he gets injured, which we don't want to see. Knocking wood here, yeah. People. Now I had Goldie at number four for me.
Okay, so did you have this next guy at number three, the great man, Gary Ablett?
Got to have the great man in the top four, easily.
Yeah, for mine, he's number four, midfield. Played the six games, averaged 94, but it was pretty funny because he had the two games at the start and then he sort of disappeared. Went 61, 70, 119, 119, 176, 22.
Okay.
So we know he can still do it.
Yeah.
2014, average 119. He's a perennial 115 points plus per game.
Yep.
30 touches. We know how good he is forward, so I don't think he's coming off the ground.
No.
Gary Ablett, safe as houses, really, yep. For me. Does it every year, the 115. So I think he looks over his injuries in all the preseason videos I'm looking at.
Okay.
So...
yeah, he came back early, he's training the house down, like a lot of those Gold Coast guys that are injured. He's Gary Ablett, lock him in, set forget. Number yep. three for me.
Yep. So number five, I had Scott Pendlebury. Played the 22 games, average 111. In 10 seasons, eight of 20 games or more, and averaged 108 or better in the last five. You can set your clock to this guy, people.
Yeah, number five for me as well. Doesn't miss.
Know what you're going to get. Number two total midfielder last year, so...
yeah, he's the best.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. So, number six, this is a bit of a... probably a bit of a... we're probably going to be different on this.
Okay.
I got Lee Montagna.
What number was that?
Six.
Yeah, not too far away. I had him at nine.
Okay, so last year, had the 17 games at 109. We know he's a dual position forward midfielder.
Yep.
Like, this seems like an absolute freebie to me.
Oh yeah, it's
a... low score of 81, high of 155. He's averaged, what is he, if he plays 118 games, the boost you're gonna, I think he's 10 points better than the next best forward is what I'm saying,
quite easily.
So if you're picking, even if he only plays 18 games, because I know the age and injury is probably a little bit of a worry at this stage, you're picking up 180 points. So if you can distribute those over the last few games,
so what do you average this year?
109. Right? So let's say...
and Dalhouse averaged 97. And Martin 100, so...
Yeah. Look, he's averaged over 110 a few times. Four times. Over 109 or more four times. So, sorry, the other mids are around. But I don't know, he still averaged... he was still 10th in the league for average disposals. So that's, you know, it just seems like a freebie.
Oh, absolutely. If you're number one forward, bang, lock him in.
So, yeah, even if you got 18 games, that's four games where you have to find someone. So you tack on Montagna's 180 points,
yep.
He's still going to be the number one midfielder.
That's right.
Quite happy to choose him.
Yeah,
number,
for sure.
Number six. Where did you have him? Nine.
Nine.
Okay, so we're in this first round.
Yep.
Number seven, I had Chopsticks. Playing forward midfield. Dustin Martin from Richmond. Really had a great year last year. Actually, he's a pretty good player. I mean, all his six seasons have played 20 or more games. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Averaged 103 Dream Team AFL fantasy points, whatever you want to call them. Has a higher score variance than Lee Montagna in that he goes 140, 60 more regularly than... like, Montagna's floor is a lot higher.
Yep.
Than Dustin Martin's, which, you know, these are forwards. They're going to have variance. So that's fine. But the 22 games, that's fantastic. The last 3 years, he's averaged 97 or more. I think he's a guaranteed top five forward.
Quite easily.
So there's no reason not to have him.
And what is he, 20s, early 20s? Well,
this is his seventh season, so he's in his prime.
Yeah, that's right. So, and Richmond improved more, I think.
And yeah.
So that output should go up.
Yeah, no, I'm all for Chopsticks, yep. This year. So
yeah, I had Chopsticks at number eight.
Okay, so we're right there together.
Yep.
Number eight, I had Jordan Lewis, midfielder for Hawthorn. 2015, played the 19 games at 110. I mean, that's fantastic.
Wow.
Those two back-to-back years, 2014, average 109. Possession magnet. Does have a tendency to punch people. which is a bit of a knock. Not a big fan of that sort of thing.
He's an angry man.
Angry.
high score that bald of, spot that just...
Hey, come on, man. It's the morning. You don't rile me up. He's got a high score of 156, a low of 75. Seems like a safe top eight midfielder for me.
Yep.
I don't see him dropping off. Since he's made that dietary change, he's just killing it for fantasy.
Yeah, number seven for me. Just
okay.
I hate the bloke, but you got to pick him.
Yeah, see, the reason I had those forwards in front of him was just for positional variance.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think there's so many midfielders, I really want to nail down a couple of those top forwards.
Yeah, yeah, and that, totally and that, understandable, especially this year.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people are focusing on those forward defenders, especially.
Yeah, and I think that's smart, really, especially if you miss out on these top mids. Really make, you know, you're going to get a good forward on the way back in your draft.
Yep.
So make it so the guys at the top can't choose a gun forward or back.
Yeah, especially someone like you who's ranked drafting nine this year.
Oh, man. We did our draft order. We had a sweep on the Royal Rumble.
Which we'll talk about that at the end of the show.
We'll talk about that next week. Yeah. let me just say, I had a jobber. And a jobber who went in early, so yeah.
Coming up next week.
I'm a bit salty on that, to be honest. But it was great.
Oh, it was great. Great way to organise your draft order.
Yeah, so number nine, I've got Dane Swan. 2015, 21 games, average 110. The fantasy beast he is.
Certainly is. Loses that forward status, though.
Last year he had forward status.
No, but this year he loses that forward
status. He loses it, yeah. This is the thing. I'm
being pointed at here.
Yeah, because I'm about to drop some fantasy truth, all right? 2014, average 93, carrying the injury problems.
Yep.
Previous 5 years to that, 117 or more.
117.
Or more.
Juicy.
Okay, this is what I'm going to say about Dane Swan, and I think this is really why you take him here. I mean, you could argue that he could go six or seven, all right? Mm-hmm. If Swan plays in the midfield, he's going to average 110, right?
True.
People are talking that he's going to play forward. Guess what happens if he does?
He doesn't play.
He gets forward status. Yeah. In these games, they change the positions.
That's right.
After six games. If he's playing forward, then he changes to forward status. Oh my God, I've got the number one forward.
And I've got Montagna as well. Happy days.
That could happen.
It could happen.
So... You know, I really think there's a bit of, a bit of intrigue around Dane Swan. He's someone who could really fly up your boards with that little bit of information.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to pick him in front of Jordan Lewis, I've got no problems with that.
Well, I got him at number 12, Dane Swan.
Yeah, okay. See, does what I just said, that's probably bad English, but does that influence you? Would you reconsider that position?
Big time.
Yeah. It's always something to consider, that change of position.
Yeah, for sure.
Number 10, I got JPK from the Swans, Josh Kennedy.
Well, I've forgotten to put him in the list.
Oh my God, you could have just said he was a bit lower for mine.
Well, he certainly is lower.
All right, so 2015, played 22 games, averaged 107, 2014, 106. He's in his ninth season, absolute prime. Last 10 home and away games, and even the first final. Over 30 disposals.
Nice.
I just think he's an absolute superstar. His low score was 60. Didn't have any tackles in that game, which is weird because he averages six.
Hmm.
So to have no tackles in a game, that's a little bit strange.
Different role, Kennedy. Maybe.
Well,
sitting forward a bit more, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, he's not like the guy who goes forward. It's more your Parkers and Mitchells.
True.
And Hanbury can move to the wing, whereas JPK is in just that guy in the guts.
Yeah.
Had a high score of 115. Look, I think whatever it wasn't working for him, you know, we don't know what's going on in these guys' minds off the field.
No.
Whatever he had going on where he wasn't crushing it, he worked it out.
Yeah.
And he was a fantasy beast.
And has been for quite some time, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I really like him. That's what I was saying. He's only played eight seasons.
Yeah. And so a couple of those were sitting on Hawthorne's seconds.
It feels like he's been around forever because he's just been so good.
Yeah.
So he's in his absolute prime, man. I can't go past him.
Yeah, I love him, even though I've forgotten to put him on the list there.
Okay, so number 11, I got my first defender, Matty Boyd from the Bulldogs.
Yep.
18 games, 104. Did have a little bit more variance than we used to see from Matty Boyd because he was playing back.
Yep.
Low score of 49, high of 143, though. Where did you have?
Number 11.
Okay, so yep. Dead same. Okay, so the worry is with Liver back, a little bit less midfield time. This is an really interesting stat from Matty Boyd because we know he's been such a great tackler over the years.
Yeah.
His tackles dropped by 2 per game moving to the back line. But his marks went up 4.
Wow.
Okay, so he took 8 marks a game. So that's a really interesting little statistic, I think. You know, obviously moving the ball around half back.
Yeah.
Was able to get on the end of a lot of marks.
That doing you switch the play and whatnot. And
so I think he should be the top averaging defender. you know, it would probably be him and Jared McVay battling it out, barring
Mundy any position. As well, if he gets that.
No, he didn't.
But if he does.
Oh, if he does. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
Mundy be in that mix. But the worry is that he might not get to 20 games. But I think, again, if he's like Montagna, if he averages 5 more than the next best defender, you can pick it up with other guys.
Yeah, I think they'll manage Boydie's game time a bit as well. And
yeah.
Like, he's not going to, like, he'll miss 1 or 2 games like he did throughout 2015. But he'll play the 18, no worries.
Yeah, so that's why he didn't make it into the top 10 for me. If we could feel better about his games, then he'd be a top 10. But
yeah, for sure.
That's the only reason he slid down for mine. Number 12, I've got Tom Mitchell from the Sydney Swans. Finally got into the team in the, what was it, around 4 or 5 last year.
Yep.
Played 17 games, averaged 106. Coming into his 4th season, he's just a possession magnet.
Yep.
Still had 2 vest games, all right? He had 2 games with the vest. Well, one of them was a green vest, so that really affects your score. One was a red vest where he got subbed out in the 3rd quarter. Wasn't really having a great game.
I think I remember that game too.
Okay. But if we took the 2 vest games out, averages 115.
Brilliant.
Lowest without the vest was 87, high of 163. Averaged 7 tackles in his 3rd year. That's pretty fantastic. That's
huge.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess the worry is with Tom Mitchell, the little bit of competition around him for spots, but I think he's a gun.
I think he's fine. Yeah, I got him number 10. Just, you got those young kids in Mills and
Heaney.
Heaney, but I think...
Oh, he's before them.
Yeah, quite easily. Like, read the articles that the young kids are killing it. No, Tom Mitchell. It's Tom Mitchell.
Yeah. Another Sydney Swan at 13, Dan Hannanbury.
Okay, we're a little bit different on this because I had him at number 6.
I can understand that. I got no problem with that. Played the 22 games, averaged 111. Low of 74, high of 153. Was the 3rd in possessions by average in the league. Had a fantastic year. Really put it all together. So I guess, you know, I feel like he's pretty safe. My thing is that I feel like he might play a little bit more outside again this year, like we saw in previous seasons, what with JPK, Tom Mitchell, Parker's back. Those, like, I know he's a big dude, but those bigger guys, where I feel like they want to feed him the ball on the outside a little bit more.
Yeah,
and you know, he is the number one tag target, so
get him on the outside, and
they can, you know, maybe they go to him. I know teams don't tag as much these days, but I feel like if they were going to tag, he's probably one of them. Well, unless you're North Melbourne, because
Melbourne,
they destroy people's. So why did you have him 6?
Just going. He's a gun. Yeah. And still in his prime as well. So
yeah. So he's just another midfielder for mine. Where I'd rather those, like, we had those forwards and defenders just for the positional variance in front. But I mean, Hannanbury's, hey, if he was your number one midfielder,
I'd be very happy with that.
Got no problems there. So number 14, I got Jared McVay. Getting the double dual position defense midfield.
Yeah, I've got him at 29 for some reason. I don't know why.
Because you're not high on him. I got for mine, he's going to probably be the 2nd best defender in the game. Played 20 games, averaged 97, 2014, 22 games, 97. Extremely consistent. Usually plays 20 games and averages about 97.
Yep.
So he's usual backman. He does have a little bit of variance, had 3 scores under 70, but 14 of his games he had 91 or more. So to me, that's, I don't see that he's not going to finish in the top 3.
Quite
like at worst for defense.
Yeah.
So if you like, and we put this here, like, if you took, for whatever reason, a defender in your 1st round, like Matt Boyd, you might not want to take a defender in your 2nd round. Like, You know, it's just something to consider, I guess, when you're building your team. But I feel like he's, if you've got a midfielder and, you know, a couple of those real gun forwards are gone, maybe grab a gun defender.
Yeah, definitely.
And set your team up that way. Because I think there's once you get past the top couple in each of those forward and defender categories, there's some real question marks.
Yeah, once you get probably that 5 to 10 bracket, after that 10.
Well, I mean, even, you know, like Harley Bunnell, I think I have him as my 5th, but I don't feel great about it.
No. Well, buddy, I mean, killing it in a scratch match.
Yeah. So I love Jared McVeigh there. 15, I got Jack Stephen, who was the top total points midfielder last year. 22 games at 111.
Yep, number 16 for me, just coming back off that injury a couple of years ago, back to his best now.
Yeah.
Dream team beast, fantasy beast.
Yeah, he increased his tackles by 2 a game, so he's up to 7 a game. That's fantastic.
Awesome.
Has averaged over, got back to 26 touches a game, has done that before,
yeah,
but not with the tackles. So into his 8th season, I feel like he's very safe.
Yep.
But just the other guys probably have a bit more, the other midfielders have probably a little bit more.
Playing the better team, got more access to the points.
Maybe it's just a bit more name value. Maybe I'm being a bit slightish on Jack Stephen.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they just have a better history than he
does. Best and fairest winner.
Yeah, look, he's a gun. You know,
yeah.
It's not a knock on him. It's just, you know, I feel more comfortable choosing these other guys before him. Okay, so number 16, I got Heath Shaw, which this would be probably my most contentious pick.
Yeah, well, I had him at 20, so we're not too far away.
Well, I'll be honest, he's probably the one I feel the least safe with.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if anyone's going to completely stink it out of this list, it's probably him.
He had an awesome year last year.
Fantastic year. Averaged 96 in 22 games. Just went to another level in his second year at the Giants. I can't even read my writing on that. What does that say? 2.5 more kicks a game than ever. A tackle a game more. A mark a game more. They're not huge increases.
No.
But across the board, it made a huge increase.
Do you think that was helped by the fact that most of the GWS defense went down with injury and Pat Fallon
Well, a lot of those guys are keys anyway.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's just Heath's grown up.
Yeah. Like that first year, he wasn't great at GWS. He's getting a bit comfortable in there, but now he's settled in. He's playing that leadership role.
Yeah.
He's loving it.
So I think
he's not as angry anymore.
So yeah, he's a little bit risky with his past, only going over 90 once before.
Yep.
But, you know, if I want one of these gun defender or forwards, Heath Shaw is probably one that feels a little bit better to me than, you know, the other guys like Cade Simpsons and Corey Enright. Well, yeah, we just know that he's going to play.
Yeah.
We know he's going to find the ball. We know when he gets it, he kicks it. I'm about it.
Yeah. All for Heath Shaw, for sure.
Yeah. So number 17, I got, you'll love it, it's a Western Bulldogs player, Luke Dalhouse.
Okay, had him a little bit higher at number 14.
Yep. So he's a forward midfielder, averaged 97 last year, played 22 games the year before, 21 at 87, coming into his 6th year. I'm hoping with Dalhouse another preseason helps him out over the course of the year, because these splits are a little bit worrying to me. The first 9 games, 8 tons.
Yep.
Last 13, 4.
Yeah, and that was because no one was tagging him. Actually, yep. Last year, if Dalhouse was stopped, it made it harder for his scores. They just tagged Dalhouse for some reason. Like,
yep.
They let Bont and the rest go. So they were tagging Dalhouse because they knew he's the danger guy.
Yeah.
So that's probably part and reason why his scores dropped off a little bit.
Yeah, so and also we got this year...
Libba's back.
Libba's back and Cremery's out.
Mm.
So that can't be good, I don't think. I mean, I'm still sure he's going to be one of the best half forwards in the league.
Yeah.
But whether he can maintain that 97, meh.
Yeah, I actually thought he could bump it up a little
bit. Yeah. Even the people in the poll agree that you're a total homer.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, I think he's pretty... Where did you have him? 14.
14.
Well, we're not worlds apart.
No.
That's was he your third forward?
I got Montaigne.
And Dustbin,
yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that's fine. That's our third forward. We're pretty in agreement there. Yeah, I feel like if you got one of these gun mids at the top, like your Rocky or your
Ablett,
or even one of your top ruckmen, then this would be a really nice guy to get on the way back.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, number 18, Jimmy Bartel.
Wow. No, didn't.
Defense mid.
Not about that. Just age factor for me.
Okay, so he's not in your top 30 at all.
No.
Wow, okay. So he played 11 games, averaged 89. That does include a game where he scored 8 because he got injured.
Yep.
So you take that out, the average goes up again. Eight of those 11 games, he scored 90 or more. For a defender, that's just elite.
Yep.
First time in 11 years, he hasn't played at least 19 games and averaged 95.
Wow.
Whoa.
And you're telling me I can get this defender at the back of the second round?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I really like Jimmy Bartel. I think he's such a gun. They'll put him where they need him. He's going to find a way to score.
He'll play literally the whole grand. Don't be surprised if he'll be defender, mid, and forward by the end of the year.
Yeah. Can we just create a U?
Yeah.
Just a U position. All right. Yeah, I love Bartel. I think you know, this is what I like about it. I think he's a guy who's going to slide in drafts.
Big time. And that's why I didn't have him. I thought, no, I'll get him a little bit lower.
But... Well, think about it like this, though. If you had, say, pick 7 in your draft, so you drafted 7 and 14 or 13.
8 and 16 I'll be this year.
No, you won't be 8 and 16. You'll be 8 and, like,
no.
13.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll be 8 and 13. When you come back at pick 23 or whatever it is, it'll be 23 if you're doing a bonsai.
Yeah.
Then... If we've got him ranked 18, you could still get him.
I still could.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's a fantastic thing to have...
up your sleeve.
Up your sleeve, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the idea of this top 30, is you really want to... They're not all going to go in this order, of course.
No.
But you want to get as many... I want to get as many of my top 30 as possible.
Oh, for sure.
So if Jimmy Bartel's still there when I'm drafting my third round, boom, then one of my other guys is probably going to be there as well. And I'll get 4, maybe 5 of my top 30.
Pretty good.
That'd be lovely. So, yeah, number 19, Matt Prittis.
Yeah, I slid him this year. 27 for me.
Okay. So, 22 games, at 103. 2014, Brownlee averaged 108. 7 tackles a game, 30 touches. The thing that really kills him from being a first-round mid is that handball-to-kick ratio for me.
Yeah, the Daniel Cross.
Yeah. So, he averaged 30 touches last year, 10 kicks.
Wow.
So that's horrible, man. If you switch that around, you'd be averaging 113.
Absolutely.
So, look, he's very consistent.
You know what you're going to get with him.
You know what you're going to get. I really like him in this position. I feel like he's just such a bankable guy.
Yeah, no, I think maybe another year older. I think he just slides a little bit in fantasy for me.
Well, I think being in such a good team with a gun ruck, he's... I feel like he's very safe. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Whether he can get back to 108, that's a question.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I certainly don't see him. I see him around that 105 mark. Number 20, I got another Bulldogs player. Jack McRae.
Yeah.
So 20 games at 104 in his third season last year, 2014. 21 games at 104.
Yeah.
Wow, you can't do better than that.
No, you cannot.
Interesting, got dropped for round 7 and 8. He was just a bit out of touch.
Yeah, Beveridge... I don't know, just had something against him and said, no, go back to twos, find like a bit
it.
Of form. And
I like it. First year coach making a statement.
Yeah, you got to do that.
But I'll tell you what, when he came back...
He racked him up.
Well, last 14 games, 9 tons, worst score of 87.
Oh, that's horrible.
So, his tackle count's pretty good, which I look at these sort of outside guys like him and Brandon Ellis, and, you know, Jack McRae just gets a couple more tackles.
Yeah, he certainly does.
So that's fantastic for fantasy. High score of 143. I think he can only
get better.
Well, he can't go worse.
No, so like if he can snag a goal or two just to give it that little push, I mean, that'd be... He could even go a little bit higher. And
there's no reason he can't go to 110 for mine.
No, absolutely. See, I got him at 18, so...
Other than the tackles being an outsider player, it's unlikely that he's going to get up to 5 a game. Or 6, something like that. It's just
only if he's really inside.
But he could take an extra mark. He could average an extra half a goal a game.
Yeah,
something like that.
Exactly right.
But you know, in your second and third years, to be averaging 104, that's just gravy for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like Jack McRae. 21, start of the third round, I guess for me. Brett Deledio, he's my last forward.
Yep.
Only a forward.
Yeah, very surprising. I actually slid him to 25, so still in that third round, but still got another couple of forwards up my sleeve.
Okay, so played the 17 games last year, had the Achilles calf complaint.
Achilles, yep.
Average 95. Last 4 years, he's averaged 95 or more. That's fantastic bankability for a forward.
Yeah. Hardly misses two until last year.
Yeah, the last 2 years, he's missed a few games. But before that, he was just set and forget, like Auto. So last year, five scores of 76 or less, whereas all others, 88 or more. Had the 8 tons. I feel like he's a very safe pick.
Yeah.
Especially
with that pure forward status as well.
Well, it's not ideal, but I mean, it's not like you're going to be playing bloody Montagna in the midfields anyway, is it?
No, and probably after 6 rounds, he will get that midfield status anyway, so.
Yeah, if it's a big deal to you, then he probably will get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty bankable for me. Just the forwards below him are a little bit questionable for me, like your Benells and your Michael Barlows. So,
yeah.
Where did you have him? Sorry.
I had 25.
25, okay. So number 22, I got Dane Beams, the new leadership person at Brisbane. 16 games at 103 last year, 2014, average 107. Had a couple of injury-affected games at the end of the year.
Yep.
I feel that really
had that shoulder reco.
Yeah, well, he was playing through pain. You could see it.
Yeah.
It sort of knocked his scores down a little bit, I think. Has gone 116 before at Collingwood. The worry is becoming injury with Dane Beams, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Only over 19 games once in the last 5 seasons.
Not great.
Not great, but always gets 27 touches. That's great. But you get your choice of topping.
That's bad.
All right. So, yeah, I like Dane Beams. It's, he's a gun mid.
Yeah, just slid him outside of me top 30. Just the question on the body for me. And
so I think having these guys like Rocky and Hanley back, I think it helps Dane Beams because he loves playing forward of the ball and kicking goals and delivering the ball inside 50, which is great for your super coach. But I think it frees him up to do the things Dane Beams does best.
Get the pill like he used to do at Collingwood when Penderby, Swan and that were just tearing it apart.
Yep, yep. So I think Dane Beams can go certainly higher than 103.
Yeah.
Number 23, I had Patrick Dangerfield as a midfielder.
Yep.
Moved to Geelong. 29 games at 106 last year. Obviously, the game they missed was the round that was cancelled. So, 2014, averaged 92. So, that's a huge jump. That's 14 points.
Yeah.
Only once averaged over 100 before. But he bumped his tackle average up by 2 a game. Dangerfield had terrible tackle average
in previous years. Very surprising.
3.5. Yeah, that's right. That's what he was usually getting. So, he really, really increased those tackles, which is fantastic for fantasy.
Yep.
Concern? Doesn't have a gun ruck anymore, knocking the ball down his throat.
No.
Does that mean more tackles?
Possibly.
Possibly. I don't know. At Geelong, should get more free kicks.
Well, there's going to be a bust up between Joel Selwood and Danger in the locker room with that, I reckon.
Yeah.
Why are you getting more free kicks than me?
Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting side note. I like Patrick Dangerfield. I feel like he's pretty safe. I certainly wouldn't want him as my first midfielder, but...
I got him in number 15.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the dream team AFL fantasy pedigree like Supercoach, so... A
bit lower on him?
Yeah, a bit lower on him. Just those tackle numbers are a bit worrying.
Yeah.
24, my last defender, Cade Simpson. I know you won't have had him because you're an ageist.
I don't like him at all.
I really like Cade Simpson. I just admire him as a player, to be honest. 20 games at 85, last seven seasons, minimum 19 games in 85.
Can't go wrong.
23 touches, 6 marks, 2 tackles is his baseline. I think he can go up in tackles a little bit, not heaps.
Yep.
Because he is that receiving player. But for mine, he's just this ultra, ultra safe defender. And if he's my defender one, then I'm feeling pretty good about life. It really gets a bit murky after Cade Simpson for me. I know Enright averaged 91, but I'm really iffy on Enright.
What is he, about 75 now? Like,
I'm a bit iffy on Enright for Dream Team purposes.
Yeah.
That's just my feeling. So Cade Simpson to me is really the last gun defender I want.
Yep.
But I mean, again, people can change positions. So
that's true.
We don't know. Number 25, I got Andrew Gaff from the West Coast.
Yeah, number 22 for me. All about the Gaff.
Yep, midfielder. 2015, played all the games. Average 104.6. took the fifth-year leap to 30 touches a game. Seventh midfielder for total points.
Wow.
So that's fantastic. I think he benefits from the interchange rule.
Another guy. I think so too, yeah.
You know, we know he runs all day. So I think his game time can go up a fraction and just run people into the ground also.
Yeah, he's great second support to Prudis as well.
Yeah, he's in a gun team, only three games under 91. If he's in number two or three midfielder even.
You'd be very happy with that.
It's just so bankable.
Yep.
So number 26, I got David Armitage.
Yeah, a little bit higher on him, you know. You know I am, I had him at 19.
So that's the recency bias for Jono.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. 21 games last year at 170 would be a pretty good score.
I'd love that.
I reckon I'd choose him in the first round if he averaged 170.
If I had number one pick, I'd take him.
Yeah, so he exploded last year, lost weight.
New diet.
Like,
and all
yeah,
that sort
much
of
like
stuff.
Jordan Lewis did.
And Patrick Cripps.
Yeah, so I mean, these things play a part. They don't always get reported in the media, and you're sort of like, wow, why did this guy come out? But yeah. we know with Armitage, you know, you increase your running ability, you're going to be a better possession getter.
For sure.
And so...
Sorry, no, I was just going to say he's an ultimate accumulator.
Yeah, of course. And he got six touches more a game.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I can imagine there's a fraction of regression. Maybe a possession less. Maybe he's average. I think 107. I don't think he beats it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, it's
I mean, not every player can improve every year.
No. You get to that plateau at some point.
Yeah, so I can see Armitage. Even if he drops off a couple points, that's, to me, he's very...
He's safe.
Well, I shouldn't say safe because this is the first year he's really gone bonkers.
Yeah, I can now that he's changed it all up.
But that's why I've put him in the low 20s.
So you're going on about Patrick Cripps as well, who's changed his diet and all this sort of stuff. So
I'm going on Patrick Cripps because he's a freaking beast.
Yeah. But you see the similarities there. They've changed their diets and workloads and whatnot. So
no, but Patrick Cripps is only in what his third or fourth year. So what's our recency with? With Armitage, what he's played, 8 years?
9, 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's a little bit different
when
you're talking. Like, much like you, I know you're not a big Jordan Lewis guy like I am.
Yeah.
So he's had, 12 years where he's been a 90-ish player and then just gone kaboom.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it's hard to trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And that just goes on with gut feel of who you like and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, if you really like Armitage like Jono does, then you'll have no qualms taking him higher than I do.
No.
So that's fine. Number 27, I got Lachie Neal. Played the 22 games last year, averaged 101, 27 possessions a game, 3.5 tackles. Fifth year increase for mine. I think this year he goes up a little bit more.
Goes up a little bit more?
Yeah.
Had a bit of a breakout.
Yeah.
More time in their guts, I think.
Yeah, I think he's a good inside-outside player as well. Like he can,
you
know, use the ball on the outside, but he can also lay tackles.
Yeah. For a very small guy, he can lay a tackle.
Yeah. Two crappy games and one red vest game, so his average is a little bit down from those things. High score of 162.
Oof.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Huge.
Had the 12 tons in his 22 games, so yeah, I think if you think Fife's going to play a little bit forward with his injury, then I think Lachie Neal's going to get some benefit out of that too.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you have him?
No,
just outside the top 30.
Just outside, just
yeah.
Want to see a little bit more, but just coming out of that first year, only seen it once. Let's see some more.
Okay. So 27, I got Mark Blixar's ruck mid.
Juicy. Don't know about.
Oh man, I found it.
Don't have him for fantasy, but spoiler alert, I do for Supercoach.
Yep. So, 21 games at 97 in his third season. He ain't coming off the ground, I know that much.
No, what is he? What are those ultra marathon runners? And...
Well, was he steeplechase?
Steeplechase or something like that.
So look, he's just, I can't, he's hard to gauge. I'll put it that way.
Very hard to gauge.
Best because we don't know if he's ruck, mid, whatever. I know this much, they're not going to not put their best and fairest winner on the ground.
That's true.
He's going to be out there all the time. Six tackles a game, 16 hitouts, 18 touches last year. I don't see why he doesn't do it again.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, it was just so hard to rank.
Very hard. That's why fantasy.
I could see him averaging 110
quite easily,
but I could see him averaging 85
quite easily. So,
like for me, the risk at the back end of the third, that's fine.
Depending on how you've drafted, exactly right.
And again, you know, we mentioned this is our top 30. It's not going to go like this.
No.
You could find him as a fourth player.
Yeah.
So that could happen. But he might be gone in the first round or second round.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
We don't know.
29 had Callum Ward. Played the 22 games, average 100, high of 149. Generally very low variance scores. Like he doesn't, like he had one big score, but
yeah.
Generally he's sort of 20 points either side of 100.
Pretty much.
Very good tackler. Always gets 20 touches. Doesn't usually tackles, miss.
Doesn't miss. I had him at 28. Might benefit a bit more when that Treloar's gone. Like to see him kick a couple of goals, but I doubt that with the forward line they've got going there with Reece Palmer and the likes.
Nah. Yeah, I just he's just a safe pick.
Yeah. Good fourth round.
Yeah, midfielder. And my last pick in the top 30 is Sam Jacobs.
Okay.
The big sauce at the ruck, 21 games at 96, the year before 22 at 97. For me, he's the last really safe ruck.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You could pick up 10 points on the next ruck, possibly. Probably more like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
But to me, in this spot, I'm really looking for that score variance. And to me, that's something Sam Jacobs can give you that a lot of players won't. Can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
So 4 crack games last year, 10 tons. There's no one else to take to play ruck.
No.
So, yeah.
All right. Just a couple of players that I had. Did you mention Fife?
No.
Nope. Okay.
See, I think Fife to me, he's not traditionally a great
dream teamer.
He averaged, I think it was about 104 last year, 105. So if you think he's going to play forward more, he's probably not going to be racking up possessions.
But he can take a contested mark, overhead mark,
yeah,
and
that's,
kick a goal.
That's fine, but the tackles will be down. He's not a great tackler anyway.
No. Nah.
But the tackles will be down, the possessions are down. To me, that just pushes him down. The one guy who... Oh, also Joel Selwood's not in, but he's not a great dream teamer anyway.
No.
And now this foot injury, I'm just like, kaboom.
Yeah.
The one guy I felt a little bit slighted, and he's going to have to move up my dream team rankings anyway, is Taylor Adams. The back half of his last year...
I toyed with him so much.
Yeah.
Getting him in there.
The back half of his last season was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I just don't have the stones to put him in.
No, neither do I. Like, I've just got him outside my top 30 there. Like, and see, like I've got... At my number 30 was Mitch Robinson. So now he's employed off his own money, dietitians, to give him more energy for games. So he's running longer... In game, running our games longer, so that's a big tick for me. Mid forward, love it.
Yeah.
What did he average? About 12 tackles at the back end of last year. 12 tackles a game.
Yeah, that's huge.
And question marks on Beams and Hanley and their fitness coming back. Yeah, could still play in that guts.
Yeah, for sure.
It could regress to playing that forward role. Wait and see. Another one I had, big Nick Rewalt. At number 26 for
me. Again, just can't trust it.
You can't trust it, but I had to throw him in there. Just
I could see it. Another guy I could see is Barlow.
Yeah.
But again, hard to trust.
Hard to trust. And also Brad Ebert and Brandon Ellis.
Yeah, Brad Ebert. They were both in contention for the back end spots.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, they're all back end. We're going to be different on that, but just love what they guys do. They've been doing it for years. Lock it in. One person, just a question on you. The could be 2012 Brownlow medalist, Sam Mitchell.
I think he's in my mid-20s for midfielders. So,
okay.
I got it right here, actually. Where is he? Sam Mitchell, 24 for my midfielders.
Okay,
and that's 23 because Heppel's out as well.
Yeah.
So, what did he average? 103 last year.
So, it's a bit of a horses for courses.
Well, I mean, he's fine, but I mean, he's not going to... I don't think he goes better.
No.
Does he?
Maybe.
No, I think other guys are going past him.
Possibly.
He's a gun. I'm not knocking Sam Mitchell, but just like, I mean, there's so many guys. Like, this is where we talk about positional variance. To me, there's so many guys who can knock out 103
average.
To 98 to 103 average. You got to separate them. So I'd rather get the positional variance of like a Cade Simpson, Delidio, whatever in there.
Whatnot.
Sam Jacobs, whoever. Like, I'm not going to pick up 10 points between Sam Mitchell and the next mid.
No.
I'm going to pick it up possibly with Sam Jacobs. I might get 5 points.
That's still a bonus.
If I'm drafting 30, guess what? I'll get pick 31. So I'm going to just choose... I'll fill out my mids eventually there anyway.
Yeah, and you get those same 100 average.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah. So that's the reason why... I mean, people will ask why, you know, I have Cade Simpson who averages 85 as opposed to Sam Mitchell... Taylor Adams, Brad Ebert, again, 100 every game for the last three seasons.
There's a plethora of those midfielders where not so much of those defenders.
I did the numbers. There was something like that averaged between 95 and 105. There was something like 30 players.
Wow.
Like, you just...
take your pick.
You're going to get them.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be left short. I'll put it that way. So, yeah, that's the top 30 dream team.
And now we will be moving on to our top 30 of Supercoach.
Yep. So, download both episodes, not just this one.
That's it.